Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, this is the creative opening of Billy Parnell. That's Ask Uncle Billy, the Ask Uncle Billy show. And guess what? I'm just coming on at 7:30, got an hour to be on until 8:30. So give me a call back, and I will shock you with my information, I guess. It's a great day for a long conversation, bringing you the facts. My son and I was discussing some of the journeys that we wanted to encounter in our newly developed partnership. Some of the trials was enormously difficult for non-formally educated people. I hope that's a word, because I made it up, non-formally educated. But my son is also limited vision. You don't like the word blind that much, you know. But I'll give you more tonight on the Uncle Billy show, and that's right now. Telling you, well, and plus I just got off disability myself because I am a transplant, cancer, and a whole lot of other stuff survivor. So my son and I got together, and we were just trying to decide, well, what we going to do? I'm tired of going to school. I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of doing that. I want to make an impact somewhere. I said, well, that would be easy. Start giving something away. He said, what? I said, your knowledge. And the journey is on. My son, however, wanted to finish up his schooling. He's still in school now. He's in Lighthouse for the Blind, trying to learn something new and different than what he's already learned. That was different, totally different. And I guess every proud father would be glad to say something like this. He's a well-educated young man. And no, I didn't say formally educated, because neither of us had that wonderful opportunity on a very large scale. I went back to school when I was 30, 31, something like that. And he's been in school quite often himself due to his blindness. But it's actually not the key to where you got your learning from, where you got your education from, as long as it's beneficial to your goals and your opportunities that come with it. Some people like to try to call it luck. I don't believe in it. I believe that preparation and opportunity come together. I'm pretty sure some of you all out there done heard it before, but I live by that opinion, because luck helps you win all the time. Being prepared for the opportunities that do come and exist for you are either God-sent opportunities or just other challenges in your life to help you get better and better. Patient identification, hold 1 second. Yes, if you had listened to your message, this show was long. I hear it just coming on.
No.
Yeah, it just came on at 7:30. You lied. Bye. Yes, now I'm back. But so what we discovered was that due to some of the other challenges we had faced and some of the things we had acquired, and especially and specifically some of the different knowledgeable things that we had learned through our early years, you know, him being quite a bit younger than I was, but we were still young, you know, both of us. Yeah, I'm trying to hang on to the youth. but we are constantly growing together, he and I. We learn a lot from each other, and his quest and his zest to learn and give back, however, frightened me at first because of him being so philanthropic. You know, I thought I was the last and only, but I keep forgetting just how much he is following his father's footsteps, even in some thoughts, you know, some things that I've never even told people. But, a lot that we learn from each other on a regular basis is, for the first time, we were separated a couple of times in his youth and in his adult life. So, but somehow God continues to bring us back together from other learning experiences, to teach each other about them and to grow a little bit more. And now, hopefully, this is our utmost togetherness for a journey that will last till the end of time. Because, as I said earlier in my conversation, we both took some wrong journeys in our youth and developed a lot more understanding of reality, you know, paying for your, being responsible for your situation and, of course, suffering the consequences. So with a lot of the different things he's tried, you know, he met the challenge. He's still here, still breathing, and still has that zest to obtain other goals that he set for himself. So, again, it's all about life. It's all about meeting the challenges that you set for yourself. And I know other people have told you before in the past, other people have suggested, set you some goals, write them down on paper, and if you don't believe in them, give it a chance. You know, what's the last challenge that you actually faced in your life just outside of living? And if you can answer that somberly and with a straight face, then you're setting goals or you're doing something right. But if you can't, you just letting it fly like it may. And, you know, you're not seeking to obtain, you're not aspiring to do better, get more, what, then I submit to you, you already dead. You know, realistically, you know, you brain dead. You are not striving to, it ain't no broke person in the world that don't strive for something. They ain't said, I want a new car, I want a new house. You, either that or you ain't got no woman, and I'm not going to talk about your wife. Don't talk about your girlfriend. But if she's not pushing you to the limit to make you want to do better, you ain't got no woman. You ain't got no girlfriend. You got somebody that don't want nothing. And I submit to you, nothing from nothing leaves nothing. If you don't want nothing, you ain't doing nothing. Please don't raise no kids. Because if you teach them the same thing you want, Lord, I got to get off of that track. Let me start back talking about my son. Yes. I'm so proud of him because he's been visually impaired. He's a 41-year-old young man. Yes, he went through the ringers of growing up. Conquering some of the mistakes he paid for and everything else. But every time you ask him what did he want, and this is, that's the reason I said, every father should be this proud of his eldest son. Because I said to you, all he really wants to do is be able to be more philanthropic and giving back. And he says the way he was taught on the computer to redesign and repair computers and stuff like that, he wish he had a million of them. It would be a million kids with computers. Because he would fix it and give it away. Fix it and give it away. And so, you know, and you just can't ask for anything more. You know, with the trials and tribulations he went through in his young age, I'm not going to put all this business in the street because he ain't like his daddy. He's not as transparent as I am. Pretty close. See, when you get ready to Google me, all you're going to come up with Billy Farnell. Wild and crazy guy. You're going to think you Google Steve Martin or somebody. But then, you know, I'm still trying to ask me. Ask the folk in the dark meetings I used to go in. Ask everywhere else I went. I don't mind telling you about the struggles and the mistakes I made. But on the other hand, if you just went in instead and asked me what you're trying to do, you'll find out that my son got his philanthropic thoughts and everything else from me. Because you win some, you lose some get caught on a kind of rain. Money I've had on many different occasions. Yes, I was a street gambler. Player and all of that there all my life. I was raised to be that. And if I must say, I done it quite well. I created a living doing it until the time I went back to school at 30, 31 after after paying for a bad mistake. And we'll get into that when I see you and you asked about it. So, but after going back to school, and I think I've mentioned this on so many occasions, I met the marvelous, the wonderful, the only lady in the world that I think could have taken me out of my doldrums at that old age was Miss Mamie McKnight, one of the best educators ever, bar none. Anybody that could teach a fool, and I submit to you that I am, and I didn't say it was, with a stubborn streak as long as, and I'm going to mention one of my streets that y'all don't know nothing about, as long as Bear Street, and that lady had me yearning to be at school. When I couldn't be at school because of illness and because of some of the past due mistakes and all of that and whatever, she had me missing school. She had me, I was saying, just like I did when I was a little child, I need to be at school. I need to be at school. And that's the way I felt and still feel about Dr. Mamie McKnight. Because along with some things that I did a couple of years before brought me to a sense of reality for long enough for me to get on the Dean's Honor Roll and do some things in school that hadn't been done by an old man like me in a long time. Graduated. And so what I eventually did was I never taught school after that. I had aspirations of teaching. But society, my own sense of guilt, and my own sense of identity wouldn't let me go into the classroom. Because at that time, they wouldn't let you tote pistols. I'm pretty sure some of y'all gonna catch that. So I did not trek into the classroom, but I mentored and taught and big brothered a lot of the youngsters that came into my existence, came into my world, and I said my world because unbeknownst to a lot of you all, I still have one. All you have to do is go on the internet, look at it. It's being developed as we speak. It's called WelcomeToUncleBilly'sWorld.com. Pretty soon you'll be seeing another one. Uncle Billy's New Renaissance.com. And pretty soon you'll be seeing where our office is located on Malcolm X Boulevard. I'll give you the address later. But the name of it is Bunchon Rising. By Friday, you'll be seeing a web page up, Bunchon Rising, and so on and so forth. We are coming, the young lady that's on the other line, on the other end of this phone, her name is, I don't give out personal names. To me, her name is Miss Guru of $5. She can tell you anything you want to know about $5. So that's my Guru of $5. I'll let her address her own thoughts and opinions about giving you her name in a minute. We don't have but an hour, so if she give you all her name and all of that, she gonna go overtime. But however, it's fun being around friends and family that you can relate to. You can stay transparent all the time. You don't have to hide none of your feelings. You can be real. You can be you. And plus, you can get people to feeling a lot better by telling you their problems and stuff like that. That's what we are trying to find out by moving back inside of Dallas.
Right.
We want to find out what your problems is so that we can help fix them. A lot of my struggles of growing up, coming up, I realizing that I had a lot of different friends in different places. And one of my best assets was I didn't carry matches, so I didn't burn a lot of bridges. But what I did do was prove my loyalty, prove my allegiance, that if I called you brother, I would not stab you in the back. If I called you sister, I wouldn't set your weave on fire.
Right.
And I proved to the world, at least the ones in Welcome to Uncle Billy's World, that I was a friend for life. And so I have friends that I've developed in manufactured from out of the blue, didn't even know how we came together. Some in situations to where I was a salesman, and you know how people feel about salesmen. So instead, I had to come out feeling like a friend instead of a salesman. So I did what I should have and what I had to do at the time. So with that being said, things were, I was at my peak when I got sick. So not being morbid about it, I didn't want to believe I was sick. So for a couple of years, I was my own doctor, my own lawyer, and my own food. And so my illness got worse. And I found out then, after trying to sit up and watch a football game before I went to the doctor, that I had end-stage renal disease. I lost my kidney. And then on top of that, a couple of few years later, I found out I had liver cancer. So, yeah, it was a bumpy ride. But in all of my illness years and whatever else it was, I call them foolish years, but you know, you can't do that. That's just like using the N word and don't know how to say it. Don't call me no fool. I ain't one of them young boys. I ain't your fool. So anyhow, we're going to get past that in a minute. I just figured I'd throw that in. Having proved my loyalty and my friendship to so many people, every time I turned the corner, they were saying, Billy, what can we do to help? Billy, how can we help? Jump over here, Billy. You know, bro, we've been together for a lot of years. What you need? And I realized I wasn't by myself. So basically, I was going around the block to get to the back door when I could have just walked in the front door. And that's the same thing I'm trying to tell the residents of South Dallas, Oak Cliff, anywhere they've been called in the southern sector that feels disenfranchised, out of the loop, can't find nobody to help. That's a lie. Come to the offices on Malcolm X Boulevard. Pretty soon, once we get there, you ain't got to have no address. Follow the signs. Follow the crowd. Because that's where Uncle Billy is going to be. Look up on your website and look up welcometouncleBillysWorld.com. You'll find all the information Friday night. Don't go tonight. I told you, it's a work in progress. There you go. You're running to the website already. I know you're happy to know I'm coming. But I ain't scared to tell you I'm not ready yet. The doors ain't open. You know how I feel about work. Work don't work me. I ain't going to work. But it's going to be a pleasure helping all my friends and family find out what they need. But like I said at first, and like I'll say again, if you ain't looking to set no goals, do no little labor or do something to get out of the rut you in, I wrote it on a note yesterday, and I'm going to tell you I believe in it so much, I'm going to re-quote it today. If you're not looking for something, that's just what you're going to get, nothing.
Yep.
You need to have some type of aspiration. I don't care if it's a hula hoop. So you can stand out by the swimming pool and hula hoop. I don't care. But you got to have aspirations of growth and opportunity, because that's what we're going to try to bring to the table. But we can't bring it to somebody who don't know what they want. Get some ideas together. Get some plans. Don't just come with your hand out there, I need $100,000. For what? Let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. If you don't want nothing, move. Because if you're in $5, I'm going to ask you, what is you wanting? What are you trying to get? How can we help you? Get up and get on your get alongs and let's get started. But if you can't retort back and say, Uncle Bill, I'm just trying to get a car, man. If I can get somebody to give me a good price on a car, we're going to try to help you find that. But you got to be realistic. You can't go on everybody in the outdoor country and saying, I want a new car. But what happened to the last car you bought? It was a used car. I let it go back. No, you didn't let it go back. They repoed it. Because you didn't pay. And you can't run to me and say, man, I pay my debts. All of them folks that got down me time one, and all of them say, you owe money. If you don't pay your debts, and then how are you getting cable? Oh, you got one in the box. Okay, I ain't getting in your bed. I ain't getting in. You can just go on and do what you do. But you can't come with no perpetrating the fraud, young brother. Old brother. Cause I ain't even, man, I might not have to call your brother. You know, nephews, nieces, all of that there. Because remember, I'm Uncle Billy. I'm going to do what I can. But give me a chance. You know, I'm just like the turtle in the race. Give me a head start. You know he had a long neck, don't you? When he got close to the finish line, he stuck his real neck out and won that race. Don't you? Y'all, you see, y'all book didn't say the same thing my book said. So if I tell you don't do it, that means don't do it. Don't come perpetrating no fraud, trying to get nothing, trying to do nothing. Because it don't work like that. And let's keep it real. Let's keep it real. I would like to hear the guru introduce herself and tell y'all a little thing, tell y'all a few things about what she wants besides Dallas, because you know it's a must see factor that some of us who went through some personal struggles and stuff. We didn't come back trying to say we want to get rich and we want to do that. We done been through them changes. It's time for y'all to be able to say what y'all wanted and stuff we missed on. We might could help y'all by witnessing some of the problems that you might be going to face and stuff like that. And if not, there's enough professionals out there that want to see you achieve your goals too. Oh, I forgot, you ain't got none. Well, you stay at home. Till you decide to put on paper what you really want to do. Now, just for that, you get at the back of the line. Let me put the guru on. I'll holler if she needs me. Right.
Hey, good evening. Good, wonderful evening. Listeners and Uncle Billy, Your Highness, how you doing? I'm always encouraged when I listen to you talk about your struggles and especially the medical history, because I tell you that when I had a neighbor that asked me to come and assist her so she could go to dialysis, and I always try to assist people when I can, but you know that. And knowing that dialysis is very, very serious, I went and attempted to assist her with getting a ride and getting her to dialysis, which was over on Swiss Avenue. And one thing that I can tell you that when we got her to dialysis, the intake person came outside. She's very, very, had a lot of edema, excessive, had been in rehab.
Yeah.
And we got her there when we found out, listen to me seriously, that this lady had left the hospital without the advice or contrary to the advice of her doctors. So she was in pretty bad shape, and we was deceived. And I immediately thought about you because, you know, you always make sure that you inform people around you about how serious those things are. And because I've been listening to you, I knew the seriousness of it. And I used my heart prior to my mind, or even trying to second guess to think that this lady was doing something that, you know, was contrary to what she should have been doing or contrary to her health. And I went and got the lady a ride from one of the other neighbors, you know, on my own word. And I tell you, when we found out, you know, you could have bought us with a penny when the lady came out there and said that. And, you know, it put us in a really bad position, you know, because that's something that could be a very serious situation. And to put it all together, again, she called me after we had brought her back to the house and asked me to come and bring her some enchiladas. And I said, like, you know, to myself, yes. I say, now, see, if I wasn't listening to you and knowing about certain other things, I probably would have took her some food. But she was already, I asked her after we had left, when was the last time she dialyzed? And she said it was Thursday, which I don't know if that was right or not. But see, this was, when was this? It was Saturday.
Oh,
and she wanted some enchiladas. And I said, this lady is really having a problem, and I don't know what it is, but I can't be included in it. But aside from that situation, I just always, you always feel my heart when you talk about your son and yourself.
Yeah.
You know, I've had my struggles, you know, cataracts. I'm still dealing with some things in that area. And you've always been that instrument to get me to be proactive. And I tell you, I've been fixing smoothies, eating salads, and different things like that. I'm not where I want to be, but, you know, I'm a long, long way from where I was. And, you know, it's just very, very enlightening when you talk to someone such as yourself that have that type of information on both sides, because when, you know, some of us that have been on both sides, and even those that have not been on both sides, and I'm talking hood and good, because, see, you know, you got your nerds and you got, you know, what we call your hood. And, I you know, some of us get with all the crowds, and I'm one of them. But, you know, when you listen to someone who can speak the language and the tone on both levels, it's always an advantage. Like they say, you know, you need to be bilingual. Well, see, I've been saying it for years. You need to understand different types of conditions of people also. Just like the course talk about the affluenza, we want to talk to the povertyenza, you know, because we know that, but they don't know it. So you need someone who is articulate in what your knowledge is, because you can't get in some of these people on these streets close to where our office is going to be, right down the street. See, there's got to be some penetration, and what's going to happen is that once they find out what's going on a couple of doors down, you're going to see a change. Because, see, one thing about life, and it's, you know, when you get two people together, they're on two different levels. And one is up, then, and one is down. Either the one that's down going to come up to meet the one that's up, or the one that's up is going to go down to meet the one that's down. Now, that could be a negative and a positive situation. So, therefore, we're not going negative. So they either going to get positive, or you're going to have to do something else. It's just that simple. Because it's a new scenario that needs to start taking place. It's 2016. Got the Martin Luther King parade coming up Monday. Going to be one of the best ones Dallas has ever seen. Heard SMU even going to show up. I'm serious. I just got that word. And I tell you, it's going to be a great, what do they call it, that person that's leading the parade. It's going to be one of those, it's going to be Steve Harvey, or is it going to be the other guy? It's one of them.
Master of Ceremony?
The MLK parade.
Yeah, now I'm trying to think of that guy that's always in front that, you know, he'd be riding on the first float.
Oh, yeah, the Grand Marshal. Grand Marshal.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I think it's either it's Steve Harvey or other guy that used to be on the radio here.
Willis Johnson.
Tom Joyner. It's Tom Joyner. It's one of those. I read it, and I tell you, I've been going and reading so much. It's one of them. All I know is it's one of them. It's somebody that's coming back that's done blew up. It may be Steve. I'm just not sure. But, and then it may be Tom. Both of them is pretty, you know, pretty far. They've made a name for themselves nationally.
Might be our boy, Willis Johnson.
No. It's not Willis. It's one of those two. I would remember. You know, I told you, Willis was one of my first interviews, very first that I did at Wise, when it was Wise right over there off of, Hampton?
Yeah.
He won't even, he don't even remember that, but because it's been about 35 years ago, 36. About
30
something.
Over there where Mr. Bill Blair used to eat lunch at all the time.
Exactly. That's, well, see, I didn't even know all of them there. So, you know, but that's one of the things that's got to happen, that the community has got to come together to start, you know, working together with the people who are for the positive, because really, the negative is on the decline anyway. It's just a matter of time. You can either get with the program or take your program somewhere else.
Right.
You know, because we finna make Malcolm X that name. See, we surrounded by Elsa Faye Higgins, which is, used to be Hatcher Street. Then we got Al Lipscomb that used to be Grand. Then we got MLK. See, we surrounded by famous people in our neighborhood that did some real striving. Now, we're not saying Malcolm X was in South Dallas, but I'm just saying Elsa Faye and Al Lipscomb were. And we do respect our own, too.
We in a either or situation. Ain't no in between.
Oh, what?
You either with us or against us.
Against us. That's right. That's right. And we happy
with either one of them. just don't get in our way.
Gone
and move to North Dallas or something.
Please do.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get you some help out.
you don't want our help. Don't move to North Dallas.
Wait a minute. You're saying just like they want to send people to North Dallas, we'll be right along with them. Said, let's go on and get you one of those transfers. What is it, majority to minority? What do they call those transfers now when you're in the housing authority and you want to go to an area that's not as gentrified racially as they're saying? What is that, the Walker? The Walker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now they can move out and go to these other neighborhoods, but, you know, and then deal with those situations that they are going to come into there and possibly be a model. That's a good thing, too. You know, some people flourish in other neighborhoods, you know, and that's not bad. So what we just want to let all the neighborhoods,
right,
all the neighborhoods, all of Dallas need to gel together positively. I think we're doing pretty good right now compared to some of the other cities. Dallas used to be one of the cities that nobody wanted to come to. Now everybody wants to come to Dallas.
Well, see, we're going to be the model city that's going to start a movement to go across America with a positive effect. Because we're not asking for anything. We're not asking you to inconvenience yourself to even try out our projects and our other thoughts and ideas. We're asking you to leave us the hell alone.
and that's real.
Yeah. Because I had to call in the other day, try to get some information. And I think it might have been on a Friday, you know, people trying to get out of the offices and stuff like that.
Another final one?
Mm-hmm.
Because I hadn't read my mail evening before, and I got it late that day and started reading it the next day, so it was probably Friday. People try to take that job like they're at home, you know. When they get on the phone and, you know, they waiting so they can go turn the alarm on and leave the office early and all this stuff there. Rushing me, you know, hey, baby, what you rushing me for? I told you I got the paperwork right here. I'm trying to get some understanding from it. Well, I wish you come home. Well, baby, you ain't at home. You're at work. And better yet,
no customer service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you work for me. So, what's your problem? Oh, I forgot. It is Friday. You trying to get out of there. And, man, when I said that, well, when you come on with information, I can help you right here. Yeah, well, you wasn't saying that when you were rushing me a while ago. You know, I'm still creating lateness. Man, you know, that lady was so happy to get off the phone, I think she'd have told me anything. I told her, I said, well, I'll call back Monday. But that's the way people do you all over now. They rushing to go take care of personal business when their job is customer service.
Well, a lot of the jobs.
We are not going to have customer service problems. Because we owe you the value of your ideas and your information so that we can all grow from it. And by helping you, that's helping us grow in other areas to be able to help somebody else more efficiently. So bring them on. But don't, like I said earlier, don't come perpetrating a fraud, because I've been there, done that. And if I am interviewing you, you're going to get laughed at and everything else. Because that's the way I am. So I just figured out the bread part in.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good part. I think that's more than worth saying. Customer service, I just want to inject that. Having worked in a company here recently, I see that I got a chance to learn that business in this 21st century is nothing like we were taught. You know, in the 70s, the 80s, you know, 90s even. But there's something that's just so oriented, not only, you know, as we can see politically, and just plain old business-wise, that people don't want to treat you and your money as a value, but it's just that there's this whole type of error that they people just are not caring about each other. Period. You know, they got having a what is that? Cornerstone Baptist Church is having. I think that's the name of it. Is having some form of forum for young black males. You know, there's been a couple of shootings over there that they're trying to address. And, you know, it's just so much of that that's going on until we really need, you know, that pull up the pants thing was so absurd at one point in time. Not that we didn't need them to do that, which I think has happened over time, but not based upon that particular, and then again it could have, but we just have to start teaching somebody, just like you were saying with your son earlier. You weren't always there, but you always came around sooner or later. And a whole lot of us can say that same thing about our fathers. Some have to say it about their mothers, you know, and some people just don't have the pleasure of having parents sometimes, you know, being brought up by grandparents, period. But, there's just some lacking of that structure, and that's where we need to go ahead and intercede. And just like you were saying earlier about not actually having that zeal to achieve in life and in school, there's a lot of kids that are just like that today. Again, and it's based upon a lot of different factors. Some of them don't have that motivation, and they don't have anybody that's there to motivate. Mamie McKnight, for example. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I had some, Miss Margaret LePrade. She was from South Dallas, the old South Dallas, the white South Dallas. She was the first person that told us that, and she went to Madison, which was Forest Avenue.
First time.
I'd ever heard it. First time I'd ever heard that. Nobody in my family never told me that. Nobody else. That lady told us that. First lady took money out of her pocket, book, pennies and nickels. Said, go get in the honor society because you need to be in. And we were hood in the intelligentsia hood, so to speak.
Right.
She said, go get in the honor society. We like, for what? Because it'll look good on your record when you go to college, you know. And we still trying to figure out. And this woman did it. Myself and a friend of mine, we was in the spelling bee because she would spell words. Give us some spelling words, and we would spell. We were ninth grade, freshman. And she, this particular woman, she cried every day because the students were so bad. She cried every day. White woman. You know, that's why it incenses me a lot of times when people get caught up on color. You see what I'm saying? Because I've seen it. And I used to get upset after I found out just how beautiful this woman's spirit was to teach us. And she, Miss LePrade, was the woman that engaged me with Project Overbound, which got me to go to college. She is that same foundation. And what was so beautiful about that her husband taught class at SMU. So she already had, yes, she already had the connection. And that's what she was looking for. She knew that there was good in that whole, you know, school. She knew that it was there, but it just really hurt her to her soul, her heart, that the kids were just so disobedient at that period of time, which they were.
They were.
And
sometimes I know in the era that I grew up, higher education was so disillusioning for so many.
So far away.
Yeah, you had to combat it with something. You know, I know I ain't gonna be able to go to school, so why go?
Mm-hmm.
College. So you know, why go through all this junk? You know, and stuff.
Right.
I was in some of the same situations for a long time, but even in my work area, when I grew up, like at the Weekly, it was so loose and everything was great. But that's not what I needed when I first got to the Weekly. And had it not been for, and I'm going to call all three of them Caucasians, I call them better names in front of them, you know, because they were more relatives.
Right.
A lady from Dart named Miss Jimmy Saunders, a political advocate named John Fullenwider.
I remember him, homeless.
And I see him, he's real old. He's a lot older than I am.
Homeless.
And I seen a recent picture of him the other day on my Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And then a guy that worked for, and you're going to love this, Blue Cross Blue Shield in the late 1980s. He told me, Billy Parnell, I'm going to make this work for you. I was going to leave the Weekly. He said, "No, you need to stay. You need to stay here." He said, "Don't get, you know." He didn't say don't get it twisted, but it's pretty close. You know, you was a white guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "But I walk down the halls here, and I don't get to see no black people. That's got to change." He said, "You stay there. I'm gonna stay here." And we're going to make some change. That was in the 80s, like 25, almost 30 years ago. And we got together, man. Blue Cross Blue Shield had more ads in my paper than anybody. And I told them, they said, how you get them to play ads like that? I said, ain't that my job? I wouldn't tell them none of my secrets. I done talked to these folks, told them folks what I was doing, and told them what I was trying to do. I created relationships with all of these folks. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Of course I do.
And that's because they were open to the real world, because they had been in positions where they saw it wasn't making any changes.
Everybody
that had been saying, we need to do this, we need to do that, it wasn't coming on down the pike.
Right.
And so they took it upon themselves to tell me, wait a minute, don't do that, don't quit, keep on fighting. And so I applaud them as much as I can on a regular basis. And Dart was not placing a whole lot of ads back then. Jimmy Saunders started putting help wanted ads in the paper with connotations on them, you know, breast cleaners, you know, real word stuff, you know, like I used to tell a whole lot of. If you stop trying to clarify to where it seemed like you need a college degree to get the job, some folks might understand and apply.
Right.
But no, you want to put bus technician on there. I do a dude that want to clean buses know he a bus technician. Let's get real, you know, and man, we get to talking, and man, And so I had them putting in real stuff. And we the biggest client ever in a black newspaper, international client, was 7-Eleven.
Mm.
I brought them to time. I dared the boss man because I said, I bet you ain't never been to South Dallas. I have been to South Dallas, Billy Parnell. I said, no, you haven't. Come to my office, you know. Tough guys don't like them dares like that, you know.
Right.
You have to know who you're dealing with, and you have to know how far you can go. Because the sky is the limit when you're talking to somebody you know.
And somebody that understands you, that gets you, and something that the world has ceased to understand. Some people got it, and very few people understand it. The color of white and the color of black has to do with your mentality. A black mentality is an ignorant mentality. It's not the color outside of you, it's what's inside of you.
You got 4 minutes to do your commentary.
Oh, well, I'm going to do two, and you can do last two. What I was getting ready to say is the whole theme of life is that there is a spirit within us that guides our personality. That's why I say, why do those certain people go to the store with each other? Or in the neighborhood, some can't go alone because you got a leader and you got a follower. And sooner or later, their brains are so intertwined that they can't do without each other. They're not even a married couple, so to speak. They just homeboys, homegirls, or word friends. And that happens. And sometimes it's a dysfunctional relationship. Sometimes it's probably good because some people would do some things that they shouldn't do if it wasn't that guide or that person with the brain that's guiding them. So they have to go with them and be led. It's just a give and take type of situation. But when you are a type of person that you stand alone to a certain extent, you have your own thoughts. You are I know you are like this. You that type of person that engage in the question why, or let me put it like this: who, what, when, where, why, and how. There are people who get engaged with those type of questions and the type of mentality that has resolved themselves to solve or to search out who, what, when, where, why, and how in every part of society, in every part of life, in every part of death even. What happens after I die? You know. So when that spirit meets one with that same type of spirit, and I'm not going to get on the Bible, but you know there is a confirmation of that. Those like spirits, that they seem to just go ahead and challenge or meet or mesh and make things great. Kind of like love, you know. It just flows and it makes it a great conversation or whatever have you. So that's what it is. You know, when that likeness meets that likeness, you know, you like, that's my friend. Don't even understand why they friends or why you're friends with that person. But, you know, the same giddiness or the same type of thoughts and about people, basically, that's what it really amounts to. Treat people like you want to. You know, there's two kinds of people. There's some who treat people like they want to be treated, and then you got the other ones who treat people like they are dirt. You know, you don't have too many different kind of people.
And those are the wannabes that want to make money off of the same they've been walking on and passing on all these years. And now payback is a booker.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And about John Fullingwater, he was the guy that started Common Ground Federal Credit Union. East Grand Avenue.
I was thinking, I know I had seen him. He had a long beard and everything.
Yeah.
I believe he looked like a hippie. And my memory bank sent me back to he was working with homeless people. Now, I still have a little memory left of what
was in he was a neighborhood advocate.
And he went to the council meetings often for advocacy, kind of like the Peter Lester, you know?
You remember
Peter Lester?
Yeah.
Okay. He was around that type of who was guiding Dallas into being a more all encompassing, racially diverse city.
The same thing we're doing. John Fullingwater started on East Grand. He had Common Ground Credit Union in a church in West Dallas, and then he got the one that was opened up on Romine in Atlanta.
Right behind the Y.
And the great big federal union bought them out.
Sure did.
Swallowed them up, ate them up like grass.
Well, then you get that example the other evening, how they can buy them cheap and sell them high. That's right. You went through that sermon the other day.
Yeah.
I was actually listening.
I was saying all of that to say this, though, that, you know, had it not been for people like those, I would have left Dallas Weekly many, many years ago simply because I wasn't getting what I wanted out of it just by average sales and stuff like that. And, you know, until I started really making friends, finding out what the job was about, and then making friends and developing networks and groups and stuff like that. That's when I caught on with all of the young females that ran Dallas at the time.
You became a part of the brain of Dallas, so to speak. Once you get in with the brain of Dallas, you become more a part of it, you know.
Guess who was mayor at the time?
Was it Kirk?
Annette Strauss.
Was it Mayor Kirk Strauss? Oh, yeah, Annette. That was a while ago.
Yeah, I got to meet Sugar Ray Leonard, man. She had a lot of folk coming in.
Mm-hmm.
I got to meet Sugar Ray Leonard down there, man. We had some long conversations. We had some long talks. The guy that used to play Action Jackson, very intelligent brother. Got blackballed. He let his knowledge out at the wrong time.
I know that happened to a lot of them.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to shut up for a while.
Yeah.
Let some people forget.
Wrong people heard him and didn't. He didn't do any more going after that.
Well,
I really hated that too, because he was a definitely a great thing for the black community. And to say all of that, to say a little bit more, I'm just gonna be here to tell you that
we gotta holler. We gotta holler. What'd you say?
It's time to go now. So shine on bright light, cause my God dog guru is on the other line. Holla.
Holla, holla, holla. Good night, Bill.
Have a great one.
Next time.